A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. There's a general feeling in many of the gospel readings for the octave of Easter that Jesus' closest friends and associates had more or less had a hard time believing in the resurrection. Mary Magdalene, for instance, didn't immediately recognize him, as we were reminded on Easter Day and again on Tuesday. And the two who met him on the road and had a long conversation with him didn't realize who he was until he opened their eyes, that's the words of the gospel, by breaking the bread in a reenactment of the institution of the Eucharist. We heard that on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, we were told that they were thinking he must be a ghost until he ate some roast fish. I love that detail of the roast fish. And on Friday, the gospel passage was about how slow they were to recognize him when he appeared to them by the Sea of Tiberias. And yesterday, Mark's gospel insisted on how various followers of Jesus just wouldn't believe that he was alive and had been seen. And you know, all this makes me feel that we're a bit unfair to poor old Thomas, labelled for all time as the doubter, because he wasn't really that much more sceptical than all the other disciples. We concentrate on him, I think, because he's named individually. And really, it can't have been easy to believe. It isn't easy. Resurrection isn't an everyday occurrence. What is so wonderful is Jesus' generosity, first to the various disciples in the past week's readings, and here, and most memorably of all, to Thomas. He doesn't reprove him, he doesn't reproach him. He just invites Thomas to touch and to believe. And Thomas's response is immediate. And it's also absolutely perfect. my Lord and my God. And if that's not enough, at that point, Jesus offers all of us that wonderful beatitude, saying, blessed are those who haven't seen and yet believe. In all honesty, for all but a very few, doubt is our default mode. When we complain that, well, I don't know, that things aren't going as we would like them to in our personal lives or in our local community or in the nation or in the international situation, when we complain, what are we doing but doubting? What are we thinking? We're thinking, if God really existed, or if God really cared, this wouldn't happen, this problem would be solved, this suffering would be removed. And isn't that what's at the back of our minds when we moan about things? And we do moan about things. And yet we're blessed. We're blessed above those people that we envy because they saw the risen Christ, they heard his voice, they touched him. We're blessed above them. So our prayer has to be that this sense of being supremely blessed may become our default mode. And then truly, we may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And believing, we may have life in his name.